Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's going on, everybody? Offsides with Mark Ryan. Hope you're having a fantastic and splendid Monday. Leaves looking beautiful. You know, Alonzo, not thrilled that my folks are coming up for surgery, but I am happy that they're going to get to see what they call the fall foliage. Right? It is very pretty out here, and I haven't lived in a long time. Colorado, I think, was the last place I lived that had the leaves changing the way these do here. And it's just kind of, it sucks when it's cold and you have no payoff, right? Like, if you're going to freeze my buns off, at least give me snow, right? And this also is a payoff for, like, a little bit chillier weather than what's comfortable. Right.
If you like the leaves so much, I have a ton of leaves laying in my lawn that I haven't been able to rake up yet.
You're right over.
You come over and do that. You know what? After you make the pile, feel free to jump in it.
I will gladly do that, man. Did you do that back in the day? There was nothing better than jumping in a pile of leaves back in the day.
Unless you jumped in a pile of leaves and find out that a dog or cat had been in there earlier and left something for you.
That happened to me as well. I do. I distinctly remember that.
You jump in, you're having a good time, and you're like, what is that smell?
Yeah. Oh, it's on me. The smell is on me, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, folks, I guess, you know, it's interesting. There's a theme to this show that's developing because we've been talking about dumb things in sports. Colin Kaepernick, Nick Saban's decision to play Tua Tagovailoa. And then here's another one that kind of fits right with it. It's all the rage right now. I was fortunate to speak to an NFL head of officials over the weekend, and I said, man, what's up with these reviewed pass interference calls? You know, you guys made pass interference reviewable, and like you've had the call stand on the field 25 of the last 26 times this is challenged. He said, Mark, there are three ways in which we will reverse a pass interference call. Are you ready to hear them, Mark? I said, yes, sir. And he said, here they are: murder, mugging, and manslaughter. That conversation between the head of officials and I didn't really take place, but I did want to let you know that they will reverse non-pass interference call. They will call pass interference upon review if there has been a murder, a mugging, or a manslaughter. Folks, yesterday we had yet additional examples of this nonsense in the National Football League, and everybody's got their theories as to why they're not really... I mean, they're basically not having it as a reviewable play. Coaches challenge and say, my guy got interfered with, and then they never throw the flag upon review, ever in a million years. And I was watching, so this happened yesterday in the Buccaneers-Saints game. Mike Evans was the victim of murder, and he didn't get the call, reviewed, still no call. And it also happened in the 1 p.m. game that I was watching. Now, Lonzo, I'm going to be real with you, man. You know, you have a chance to bust my balls here because I've busted yours on not watching the baseball playoffs. Yesterday, I felt like it was my job to watch the Carolina Panthers against the Falcons, but the game didn't really do much for me. You know, like, heading into the game, I'm like, Falcons-Panthers? In terms of sizzle, Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson gave me as much sizzle as I've gotten in a long time. So I was in an ethical confliction because I felt like my job...
Tell me you watched that game. Tell me you watched Baltimore and...
I watched Baltimore and Houston.
Good for you.
But I felt like I wasn't doing my job.
Well, I suffered through the majority of the Panther game just to prove that I was right about Kyle Allen. And then once I reached a certain point after what happened the... night before with the Gamecocks, I decided, you know what, I'm done with football today, and I just turned it off and went elsewhere.
Well, since I didn't see a lot of the Panthers game, I'm still not yet convinced that he's not the guy. All right?
Okay. All right.
Well, Lonzo, here's the other thing I'll say about that. He's an undrafted player that didn't even start in college. They should give him the rest of the year, and even the best quarterbacks in the history of the league have bad games, okay? So Kyle Allen has had six good games and two bad ones.
He's going to get the rest of the year. They're not going to, I mean, yeah. They're not going to
well,
put
he should
Will
get the
in here,
he should get the rest of the rest of the year. But I'll tell you what, like, you know, I wish people would stop judging a player after a bad game, after one bad game. Since when did we become so judgmental?
It's our right to do such a thing, and we will continue to do so.
Okay. Well, then there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm watching Houston and Baltimore, and I'm watching Nuke Hopkins, my opinion, the best wide receiver in the NFL. His fashion is another story. We'll get to that later. But Nuke Hopkins was going for a pass in the end zone, a beautifully thrown ball by Deshaun, and literally, Baltimore's defensive back should be charged with sexual assault for what he did to DeAndre Hopkins on this play. Here's what it sounded like in live television.
In the back of the end zone, watch the grab here. Little jersey tug there, and there's the contact before the ball gets there. In the back of the end zone, watch the grab here. Little jersey tug there, and there's the contact before the ball gets there.
So there you go. And we're obviously an audio medium, not a visual medium, so you can't see it, but it was plain as day. Alonzo, did you see the play I'm referencing?
I did not.
You did not see it. Okay. Can you watch it now? And I'll just show it to you, and we'll cut the volume on that, okay? So I'm showing this to you. Here's the play. And you see the guy's arm, then you see him wrapped all over him. He's bringing him to the ground. He's not given any chance to go to the ball. They don't call it pass interference on the field.
You know, I'm hearing Celine Dion play in the background. It's a scene from Titanic. You know, when they're standing on the bow of the Titanic, that's what it looks like, where his hands are
and
everything.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right.
What it looks
like. And Nuke Hopkins is getting tugged to the ground, and I hear the announcers say something brilliant. They said, If that had been called pass interference, is there any chance the review would have reversed that call? Absolutely, positively not. Which tells you all you need to know. But it was an absolute mugging on the football field. They challenged the play. The officials say the ruling on the field stands. Bill O'Brien is beside themselves. And instead, that was at the 50-yard line. That bomb was from the 50-yard line. It was on third down. Instead of having first and goal at the 1 yard line, Houston had to punt. Now, as it turned out, they got waxed in that game in all different sorts of ways. And Baltimore, you know, Houston showed itself as a pretender, and Baltimore most definitely is a contender. No offense to Lonzo, I think this is really shaping up to be a New England-Baltimore AFC championship game. And at this particular point, I would be shocked if it wasn't a New Orleans-San Francisco NFC championship game.
Just want to point out that Kansas City beat Baltimore. Just want to point that out.
You can point that out. They've also lost at home to Jacoby Brissett and a bag of potato chips.
And the Titans, but we're not going
there. Yeah, and the Titans, who are anything but this year. Folks, this pass interference nonsense it's maddening. And, you know, Lonzo and I, one of the first debates I remember having when I came here was with Lonzo about, you know, the blown call in the NFC Championship game, Saints and Rams. And Lonzo said, no, you should not make it reviewable. And I said, you absolutely should make it reviewable. But it's clear even the officials have no grasp of how to utilize this. In essence, they're saying, if you challenge pass interference, we'll allow you to challenge it, and then we'll never overturn it, and we'll take your time out. So coaches now aren't even, I mean, I saw this play yesterday, and I said, man, Bill O'Brien's not going to challenge this because he's going to lose a timeout. Then he did challenge it. They didn't overturn it, and he lost a timeout. This is, Alonzo, a tremendous black eye for the NFL. That they put this into practice. You know,
they put it into practice for people like you that complain so loudly everywhere, like, okay, we'll take care of you. We'll put this in there. We're never going to, you know, reverse it.
They didn't. Lonzo, a life policy, anything worth doing is worth doing well. They're not doing this well at all. This is a joke. It's an out-and-out joke, and every team knows it. what are the criteria for actually reversing a pass interference call? Murder, mugging, and manslaughter. That's it.
But see, we've also talked about this, and I have said that this rule lasts for 1 year and then it'll be gone. Because here's what they'll do. They'll say, you know, not enough calls were overturned to warrant continuing with this rule any further. It will go bye-bye.
Say no mention of the fact that 95% of the plays that were challenged were actually pass interference. But because only 5% were overturned, it's not worth it to continue doing this. This is the biggest sham that we have ever seen, and everybody's talking about it. And to the point when you start asking questions like, if you're not going to overturn that, why even allow them to be reviewed? To which the NFL says, exactly. And now we're going to remove this. And you're not going to be able to review calls anymore. And it's sad, and it's a sham, and it's a shame. And teams are losing their timeouts and they're losing their challenges because they're challenging clear fouls that the NFL is not overturning.
But see, this is also a lesson to the coaches. They're saying, hey, we're not going to overturn it. So eventually they're going to be, and they're already getting to the point where it's not worth challenging because they know they're not going to get the call. So they're just going to keep that timeout. So it's just more proof that you don't need the rule and they're going to get rid of it. It's just business. That's business. Like, it's sneaky business, but it's business.
It's really shady business, dude. It's just, hey, we're sorry, New Orleans. We're going to look after you. Not really. Hey, we tried it. We made every effort to put this in, and it just wasn't worth anybody's time. It's a joke, man. It's an absolute joke. And, you know, the NFL is supposed to be the bastion of, you know, of the bastion of truth. Right? It really is. I mean, and if you can't get this right at the highest level, what are the poor college and high school coaches supposed to do? Goodness gracious, you're supposed to be the proving ground. You're supposed to set the example for everybody else. All right. Coming up next on the show, if you're a Gamecock fan heading into this Palmetto Bowl, I'm really fascinated with this. What is your modus operandi? What is your modus operandi? What are you going to do? Are you going to skip the game entirely? You going to stick around for a half? You and your buddies and you and your friends as a Gamecock fan in this Palmetto Bowl, how are you going to handle it? I'm interested in that, and I'll tell you what I would do if I were a Gamecock fan next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. So I like to talk about and think about things from a fan perspective, right? And you hear that a lot on this show, perhaps more than other sports radio shows do. But there, you know, it's a touchy situation and it's a touchy time right now if you're a Gamecock fan. You know, you ever get home, whether you're a husband or a wife, and you get home and the husband or the wife, you know, they're in an irritable mood, and you say to yourself, you know what? Discretion is the better part of valor here. I'm just going to tiptoe around this one today. I can see that Lonzo is not in the mood for me to ask him for more audio. Okay? So you just kind of tiptoe around the situation. We've all been in situations like that. You get home, you know the wife has not had a great day, and hey, the less you say, the better it is for you. That's the situation, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe all Gamecocks fans find themselves in right now. It's kind of a perfect storm, a perfect nightmare, if you will. You've got a home game against your rival. Your rival's playing their best football of the year. You're playing your worst football of the year. You've got some valued seniors on senior day that you want to send out the right way, but you know there's no chance that that's going to happen. I had heard through the grapevine on Saturday that they were looking at a noon kickoff time. So I tweeted that out yesterday morning, got a lot of good response. People were interested. Okay, I said, look, don't hold me to this, but I'm hearing it's going to be a noon kickoff. And it is, in fact, now officially a noon kickoff. And when I said, ma'am, South Carolina fans, not the fans, but the team has no one to blame but itself for that time slot. If that game was worth more than the noon time slot to the networks, and the noon time slot in this business is the worst time slot you could have. You know, Pac-12 after dark, like the 11 p.m. Eastern games, okay, that's pretty bad. But if you're a primetime game, you're going to be either at 3:30, 7, or 7:30, right? Not at noon. And so for the networks to say noon game, number one, that says the networks don't expect it to be a good game. And number two, that also means that the networks don't value South Carolina.
Can I throw something else out there that maybe you didn't consider? Because I think this is the case with some rivalry games. They schedule them early because they know what kind of bad blood there is, and it's easier to make arrests in the daylight than it is in the dark. I just want to throw that out there.
Guess what time Florida State is? 7:30. Yeah, right? 7:30 at night. Lonzo, this decision was made, believe you me, they look at every single possible way they can to get Clemson in primetime. For them not to put Clemson in primetime means that this is not a game that the networks are valuing.
Is Alabama-Auburn in primetime?
It's not next week, so we don't know yet.
Okay.
Every year CBS picks that up and puts it in the 3:30 time slot, so I imagine they would do the same thing. Your point would be Michigan, Ohio State is in at noon, right?
Yeah, but, well,
but that's
it almost,
every year.
Yeah,
every year.
That
is the noon game, and no one competes with Michigan and Ohio State being in that time slot.
I'm glad it's at noon because I have to work Saturday evening, so I can actually sit down and watch the entire thing.
So you're a Gamecock fan, Lonzo, and here is my question to you guys at 1-844-477-3776. You're a Gamecock fan. What are you doing the Saturday after next? Because
the season ended when they lost to App State. I'm sorry.
The season ended.
The season ended when they lost to App State.
Really?
It was over. Yeah. Time to pack things away and move on to something else.
Ladies and gentlemen, does Lonzo's viewpoint represent yours? 1-844-477-3776. Because we're here to guide you through the process. You hear me say that in the Blue Ridge Law Firm spot. We're here to guide you through the process because I've been doing it for 20 years. 1-844-477-3776. You got 12 days between now. Is it 12? Wow, 12. We're only 12 days away from that, man. 12 days away from South Carolina versus Clemson. And if you're a Gamecock fan, you're in an unenviable position here. You know, this is a committed afternoon at a relative you don't care for house very much. And what are you going to do? And what is your strategy? Do you have an out clause? You know, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to address it? 1-844-477-3776. So to that question, Lonzo, you say...
Well, I see. I have an out because
no, you don't.
Yeah, I do because of
you
my.
You got two TVs.
Well, I have a lot more than that, but no, I'm going to record the South Carolina game like I normally do. A lot of times it's on when I'm at work, and we don't want to watch it while we're doing the show because it's depressing and it will mess with the energy of the show, especially now. And the other guy, one of the other guys who does the show with me, is also a Gamecock fan, and we just don't want to see that. So we just don't even turn it on when it's on. But I record it, and then I look at the score, and if it looks like it's going to be a decent game, then I will watch it. If not, I just delete it. And more than likely, I will be deleting because I don't think we're going to get a repeat of last year. I don't think they're going to compete against Clemson. I think Clemson's going to destroy them. And you know what? I've been live on location doing a Gamecock show when – Clemson is winning like I think it was 63-7 or something like that. It's not a place that I want to go back in my memory, so I will just move on from that.
Should Lonzo? I think Lonzo's almost should be guilty of losing his fan card here. I really do.
No one can take my fan card away from me because no one's big enough, no one's bad enough, and my fan card is my own.
Well, so. I just did. Look at this. It's in my hand right here. I've taken your fan card away because if you don't watch your team in a rivalry game...
I will be watching my team in a rivalry game.
Not live.
I will be watching Ohio State versus Michigan.
Oh, you're watching your other team. So Ohio State is your clear number one. South Carolina is your clear number two.
I have never said any different.
Is there anything South Carolina could do to get your eyes off of that Ohio State-Michigan game?
Yeah, if I'm watching the score and I see that South Carolina is competing and Ohio State is running away with the game against Michigan, then yeah, I would switch over.
What, you know, and this part of it I find fascinating. What do you think most South Carolina fans are going to do about this particular game?
They're going shopping.
1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Let me see here. You are wrong, Banboy. We had a game earlier this year that was a top 10 team, and it was at noon. Maybe they are sliding Clemson, I think the bottom line is we don't have a widely populated fan base from either side that would watch the game. Let's see. We don't have a widely populated fan base from either side that would watch the game, so they put it earlier. By the way, it was a night game last year and the year before. So now what do you have? Well, last year and the year before, I went into last year's game thinking South Carolina was going to make it a game. If I'm honest with you, last year I put money on South Carolina plus 21 points. No, it was plus 27 and a half points. I put money on South Carolina last year, and I knew I would win that bet, and I did. And it should have been a 14-point game, but Dabo ran up the score at the end, right? Absolutely ran up the score at the end. But this year is a different deal. Last year, you know, I don't know if there was hope South Carolina would win last year, but given what they had shown, I thought they could keep it competitive. And they did. And this year, I don't feel that way at all. This year, Clemson is even better than they were a year ago. This year, South Carolina is worse than they were a year ago. Ryan Helinski is regressing, not progressing, as this season goes along. And that is perhaps the most damning indictment of the entire coaching staff to me. You know, because you don't see that with Dan Mullen at Florida. You don't see that with Ryan Day. You don't see that with Lincoln Riley. If they've got a good young freshman quarterback, that player only gets better. Only gets better. Ryan Helinski, I don't know what happened to that kid. Now I don't think he's the guy. And I don't think he's the guy because of what Muschamp's done to him, man. Let's get to Harold, who's up next here on the show. Harold, thanks for the call, man. You're offside. So, Harold, if you're a Gamecock, what's your strategy for this game coming up here as a fan? Do you ride or die till the end? Does it hurt too much? Are you going to fill your Saturday with something else? As a fan, what will your behavior be the Saturday after next?
I'm going to sit there and watch it through thick and thin. I've been doing it for 45 years. I've seen the good and I've seen the bad. And like I said, it might be my last chance to see the Gamecocks this year. You know, I mean, you know, well, it will be because they're not going to no bowl. But I've seen the worst whipping. What Lonzo was referring to, that 63-17 win with Tommy Bowden and Lou Holtz as coaches. And I'm still going with the fact that I don't know what Dabo would have done last year with the defense that Carolina had. If Carolina had that defense last year, they'd beat Clemson. You know, that's why they got a reprieve, because they're playing. They had to bring redshirt freshmen off of that, to make up for their defense. And this year, all of a sudden now, the offense. I didn't know all those players going to be out of offense Saturday night. I just want to see. I hope they can get at least 95% of their players back. And Mark, I think you bet 15 points going to win against.
I have no chance to win that. I literally have no.
You don't believe it, but even Nick Saban last year.
My only chance not to have to pay that up is if Coach Phillips forgets about it. Okay, and I have a feeling Lonzo's going to make sure that doesn't happen.
He's going to be strolling through that door in a couple hours, and I'm going to remind him right away.
No, listen, Lonzo, let him figure it out for himself.
Mark,
okay,
Mark, come on, Mark. Listen, this is your first year at Carolina Clemson week, and you in for some? Are you in for a sight to see?
Am I?
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
You've never been up here. I know Alonzo knows about it, but you have never been here weeks.
Alonzo.
So anyway, it's going to be fun. Listen, it's always fun.
Alonzo does know about it. Harold, thanks so much for the phone call. I do appreciate it. Ryan Helinski was 16 for 41 for 175 yards. Nowhere close to 50% completions in that particular game. The guy, and I like his moxie, but he's lost his confidence.
It was so embarrassing. It was bad.
He's regressing. South Carolina was outgained 540 to 260 in this one on Saturday night. And, folks, you know, I'm not trying to get you guys mad at me if you're a Gamecock fan, but I bet on Texas A&M. The spread was Texas A&M minus 11. And I said to myself, that is one of the easiest lines of the week. I think the team has given up. And now Brian Edwards isn't even playing anymore. All right, let's get to Connor, who's up next on the show. Connor, thanks for the call, man. So, Connor, as a Gamecock fan, what is your behavior going to be the day of the game? What are you going to do? Do you avoid the game like the plague? Do you make other plans? Or do you take your medicine like Harold and sit there and suffer with your team for 4 hours?
Honestly, the story of this season for me and for my friends, we just our group text lamenting how bad our team is. It's like entertaining. So we're going to watch the game and just continue to talk about the coaching staff and how bad we look and how bad Ryan Helinski is and the play calling. So we'll keep doing that. It's the last game of the season. We might as well finish with a bang.
So you know what? I have a similar group text with my buds from University of Florida. And here's what I've learned about them, Connor. If good things are happening in the game, so let's say like I'm having to work the Clemson game and I don't want to know what happened in the Florida game. If good things are happening in the game, nobody texts me. When bad things are happening, I start hearing ding, 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 right? Constantly over and over again. So what's the deal with Ryan Helinski, man? Because I sure as heck thought he was the guy when he first started playing, and under this coaching staff, he's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I don't think that he's they're just not, like you said, they're not developing him, and I don't think that he has any confidence. I mean, the way the team looks, he can't be happy with what he's doing, so he just goes out there. I think a lot of times he plays scared. Like the stuff he got away with in high school, how good he was out west. I mean, you can't do that playing in major Division I college football. And he's just like throwing the ball up, but he's throwing it 30 yards past receivers on double coverage. I mean, he's just not, he never looks like he's, you know, comfortable or confident in himself. And he just looks like he looks scared. He looks like Sam Darnold. He's seeing ghosts every time he plays.
It's incredibly sad. Connor, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, Connor watches the game. They just shred their own team via text message. 16 for 41 for Ryan Helinski's 39% completions with a ton of attempts. At 50 is an average QBR. Ryan Helinski's was 17. So 50 is average. Kellen Mond was 62.7. Ryan Helinski, 17, man. 17. And I say that not to imply again that I think he sucks, because I actually really like the kid, man. And I thought it was really classy how the faithful, the 12th man at College Station held up three fingers for his brother after the third quarter was over. But this, I think this is the biggest indictment of this coaching staff that I've ever seen. This is why you can't have nice things, Will Muschamp. By the way, that's Will. How do you spell it, ladies and gentlemen? That's WWWILLLLLLL. That's the correct spelling of Will Muschamp. That's four W's and seven L's. All right, let's get to Ralph, who's up next, who I'm sure would like to Ralph on his team a little bit. Ralph, what is your behavior going to be for the Palmetto game as a Gamecock fan?
Yeah. Well, my wife won't allow me to watch the game this week.
Why?
I kicked the dog upside down in the apartment last week. And
you did what?
My temper was flaring like a... I kicked the dog upside down. I got
cut this call.
Off at
Cut the call. I'm not giving that any time. Kevin is up next. Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, I got a few things. One is I'm going to drink very heavily Friday night, so I'll have a massive, massive hangover Saturday morning, and I won't be thinking too hard about that game while I'm watching. I am going to watch. But, you know, hopefully I'll have a good, strong headache and a big hangover and be looking for a nice breakfast to make myself feel better.
So, Kevin, your treatment for getting through this is just to be medicated. That's it.
Self-medicate. You're just looking for,
yeah, self-medicate. You know, I'm helping
breakfast
yourself.
Breakfast at noon, though, man. I mean, so you're getting up pretty late.
Yes, I plan on letting the Grey Goose flow very heavily Friday night, and hopefully it gets me loose. And what I really don't care as much about watching Carolina get beat, because I am a loyal fan. And, you know, we're used to them losing half their games every year anyway. Spurrier came along, and he made us a little bit of victory, you know, with his years. But the coaches before him and after him, we generally lose half our games, so we're kind of used to it. And you know what? I'm going to send a shout out to Hilinski. Bless his heart. He runs around like a cat with his tail on fire because he's just getting chased from every direction. It looks like 8 against 12 out there. The offensive line can't give him time to block. He's had a massive amount of drops this year, and he keeps showing up every week, man. He keeps coming back. So bless him for having the guts to show up and fight.
He keeps showing up for the beatdown, even though he knows he's going to get the beatdown, and he shows each and every week. Kevin, thanks for the phone call, man. So Kevin's philosophy is, listen, we're going to start having fun on Friday night, and the fun is going to take me through all the way through the game to where whether I know what's happening during the game or not, I'm going to have a smile on my face, and that is the only way I can get through this. Kevin, you crack me up, man. Thank you very much for the call. All right, coming up next, a blown opportunity for FU all the time on Saturday. Where do they go from here? Dan Scott, the director of broadcasting for Furman Athletics, joins us next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, when you're a new guy to an area, you kind of you develop your own affinities for different places throughout the area. And I really like almost everything I've seen and experienced here in the Upstate. And right at the top of that list is my whole experience with Furman, man. The campus is the most beautiful campus I've ever seen in my life. I kid you not. Now I just go by the campus when I need a mental break, when I need to mentally recharge. And you take a walk around the beautiful clock tower out there, and the lake is just pristine. Then they also hit you with the best slogan in the history of sport, F you and F you all the time. I think it's tremendous. Then they also put a good little football team out there that almost beat Georgia State and almost beat Virginia Tech. By the way, Virginia Tech is going to be the team that faces Clemson in the ACC championship game. Joining us right now is their director of broadcasting, Dan Scott, here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Dan, a real tough one over the weekend to Furman. I was kind of expecting the Paladins to come out victorious in that one. What went wrong?
Just didn't score enough points. Without trying to be flip about it, Clay Hendricks told us in his press conference today, he said, had you told me we would have allowed them 21 to 24 points, he said, I would have told you we'd have won the football game. Midpoint of the season, started having some issues in the passing game, and they really not got fully corrected yet. Two young quarterbacks, and at times both of them have struggled. And there were some plays to be made in the passing game on Saturday that were not made. But look, you got to give Wofford all the credit. They were ready to play that game, and they won both sides of the line of scrimmage. And when you do that, you're going to win more often than not.
So Wofford wins the SoCon title. What does the future hold now for Furman in terms of the playoff? And I ask you this, Dan, as somebody newer to the FCS scene, I know FCS has a playoff, but how does it work now? Is Furman in good standing, or do they have a very high likelihood of being selected, or do they have to sweat it out?
I would be shocked if Furman was not in the playoff field. And in fact, I think there's probably a good chance that we're going to host a first-round game. Here's how it works. You have 24 teams that are selected. The top eight national seeds get a bye the first round. The other 16 teams are matched up and play one another. And that is the site for that game is determined by the bidding process. You just like NCAA baseball, you put up a bid for regional or super regional. You do the same thing for FCS first and second round sites. Unless you're a top eight national seed, then you're guaranteed, you know, home games basically as long as you win and you remain the higher seed. We're the only other team in the Southern Conference that's going to have a playoff resume. The last three years, there have been 4-3-2 teams out of this league in that order go to the playoffs. Furman was left out a year ago because in an 11-game season, they only got to play 10 because Colgate canceled because of the hurricane that was going on that weekend, left us at 6-4, what we thought we should have been in. This year, we beat Point this week, which we will. It'll be an 8-4 team and a 12-win season. Those two incredible games with a total margin of 17 points that you mentioned with Georgia State and Virginia Tech, this team's a playoff team, and it'll just come down to finances whether we're going to host the first round.
How is it, though, Dan, that Furman has more losses than Wofford? Wofford wins the head-to-head, yet Furman is ahead of Wofford in the poll. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Probably because of Wofford, you know how it is when you're dealing with the human factor.
Sure.
Wofford lost its first two games of the season and fell completely out of the polls, where Furman started higher in the poll than it had started in recent years. And because of that, you know, Furman is still ranked where they are right now. The polls are also subjective to anything. I'm not really a fan of most polls, especially preseason polls. But the truth is that if you start high, you have
I hate that about the FBS as well. Basically, the teams that start high in the top 20 in the first top preseason poll of the year, they always remain one loss ahead of everybody else, right? That didn't, right? So, we can't drop them down too far for losing, but the team that beat them was unranked, so we'll make one 14, the other 15. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it has been a good season for Furman. Dan, tell us some of the other exciting news surrounding Furman athletics right now.
Well, the big thing is, basketball season has started. We're 4-0 coming off of the best season as far as total wins in school history. And the program is returning to its past greatness, if you will, by revisiting playing games downtown. We have three games scheduled at Bonsecours Wellness Arena beginning on December the 14th against Winthrop. And then later on, after the first of the year, two conference games, including one with Wofford, will be played there. One of those will be matched up with a doubleheader with the women. So there'll be a total of four games played at the Well.
Cool.
They're going to configure the thing to seat 5,000-6,000 people. It's going to be fantastic. And the goal is, you know, this is kind of the year to get it off the ground. And then moving forward, maybe play more games down there with the idea, Mark, of being able to bring in some top-flight Power 5 type opponents. Because you think next year this place is going to be hosting an NCAA regional. Mm-hmm. So there would be some teams regionally that would like to maybe come in here and get some advanced court time if they think they may be here in an NCAA tournament. So I think it's a brilliant move. The tickets are going well, but we're really trying to push getting some groups in there and make this thing a fantastic experience. They're going to love everything about it. They really are going to love everything about it.
Where can fans get tickets right now for this?
FermanPaladins.com is the easiest way. And if you buy right now, like I said, we're really pushing group tickets. Groups of 20 or more can get their tickets for just $14 a person. And you can avoid paying some of the ticket master fees by getting them through the Furman portal. So if you go to FermanPaladins.com, you can get anything and everything you need there. And individual tickets go on sale, I think it's this coming Friday, for all of Furman basketball, the 22nd.
So, Dan, as I have yet to hear this, but I have heard about the great chant with your unbelievable slogan, as it is said as at the pep rallies, can you give us the Dan Scott version of the slogan as it is said at pep rallies? The floor is yours, Dan.
I'm more of a William Shatner spoken word kind of guy. But the President John started it years and years ago, and it's FU one time, FU two times, FU three times, FU all the time.
I love it.
And that's what got started. I told you about it. You got to come and see the pictures they have of him at the president's suite actually leading that cheer. It's hilarious.
Their slogan is the same as my life wish. It's incredible how that works out. Dan, great to have you on, my friend, and we look forward to seeing you at the Well.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate it. Dan Scott, the director of broadcasting for Furman Athletics. A lot of exciting stuff going on with the Furman Paladins. Coming up next on the show, our hot seat update this week in college football. Whose posterior is in danger of suffering third-degree burns? We'll share that with you when Offsides continues right after this ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right. Each and every week at this time, we take a quick gander at the Coach's Hot Seat Ranking, the website coacheshotseatranking.com. Here are the top 10 hottest seats in college football today, the top 10 coaches whose jobs are in the greatest danger. Number 10, Gus Malzahn. I think he's actually done a fine job this year, if I'm being real with you. I know Auburn wants them to be better than the teams that they've lost to, but they're a legit. They're number 16 in the poll this week. They're a really good team who's been competitive with everyone. You lose to LSU by 3. You lose to Georgia by 7. You lose to Florida on the road. Come on, man. Gus Malzahn, number 10. Dana Holgorsen, number 9 at Houston. Kevin Sumlin sucks. He's also at Arizona at number 8. Tom Herman, hey, the chosen one at Texas. Maybe it's not so easy to win in Austin, Texas, after all. Four losses on the year now for the Longhorns. Number six, Derek Mason, they have no hope. Number five, Barry Odom at Missouri. Not many signs of life from that team Saturday against the Florida Gators. A projected 7-point spread in that one. Florida won 23-6. Number four, Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State. They have fallen right back down to their mean after Dan Mullen left, and it didn't even take long. Number two, Scott Frost. Number one is still Mark D'Antonio. Number three is now Will Muschamp. Lonzo, do you think Will Muschamp has it in him to be number one by season's end? We've only got a couple more weeks, right? Can Mark D'Antonio get a win to move down? Can Scott Frost get a win to move down? Will Muschamp's number three.
I'm a little concerned about Muschamp with the bye. I'm not sure that they can beat the bye, and I think maybe losing to the bye will get him number one.
Well, you've heard Muschamp say this year he needs to kick the bye week's ass too. And I don't know if you saw the line, but the line is the bye week by 6.5. They're favored by 6.5 over South Carolina this coming Saturday. The hottest seats in America, our coach's hot seat ranking list coming your way next. It is time for the top three at three. It's presented by Moe's Southwest Grill. Lonzo and I will give you the four teams that, as of today, we expect to make the college football playoff. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.